Hi everyone, good evening, good morning, depends where you are around the world, whether it's flat, whether it's square, whether it's round, it doesn't matter now because we have a much more urgent subject on the table now. This is a very, very, very important broadcast and the people are here. I really love the people that we are going to speak with. And we are in touch with them for many years now, and you will understand a bit more in a few minutes. And before we'll start, let's have something like that. Yes, that was a bit of an intro to our Live 528 website. And let's move now to our guests. Good evening and good morning to all of you guys. How are you doing?
We're really wonderful.
And we're delighted to be with you.
Excellent. Same here, same here. Just to remind you, I mean, it takes some time until people will join the broadcast. I mean, it takes some time for people to pick up the signal and to press and then share. And I will say a few words for those who do join the broadcast. Please share it because all the people here, maybe except Amit, but everyone here is blocked on YouTube, blocked on Facebook, blocked on other social platforms. What we have is, for now at least, Telegram. And the Live 528, which is where the broadcast is taking place, and some other friends, the YouTube channel, etc., etc. So, without further ado, I would like to introduce the guests that we have now. And while they introduce themselves, really, I will share this broadcast a bit more. So, the first main guest that we have here is Dr. Rima Lebo. Hi, Rima. How are you doing?
I'm so happy to be here.
Excellent. Same here. And just to tell the audience, and then I will just move to Ralph and to Amit. Amit and I happened that we know Rima for, 12 years, I think, since 2009, since the swine flu bullshit that took place back then. And Amit and I did a lot of work in Israel in sharing information, a lot of the information that actually Dr. Rima has put out on the internet. And we made it possible for many parents not to vaccinate their kids for this swine flu hoax. A lot of it is thanks to you, Rima. So I just want at least the Israeli audience to know about you and about your work. And obviously over the years, you have put out a lot of information about this, I don't know, this propaganda that coming from Switzerland, from the city of London, from the Rome, from wherever they sit. These bastards that would like to take over the world. So thank you very much, Rima, for that. And I will give you an opportunity to speak in a second. And we have also here with us Ralph Fusatola, which he's been working with Rima for some time now. Ralph, you will have the opportunity to introduce yourself in a minute. And obviously we have here Amiti Media, which is a friend and a partner for the website and many things that we do together. Hi, Amit. Good evening.
Hi.
Rima, let's start with you. Please just a quick introduction and then we move to Ralph and then to Amit. And meanwhile, I can share the broadcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I admire and respect the work that you two have been doing, sharing and solving in a very powerful way. And so it's a real pleasure to be here. I'm an MD. I was graduated in 1970 from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York City. That is, I am happy to say, still within living memory. During that time, 51 years, I have never written a prescription for a pharmaceutical drug because I figured out on my first day of medical school that poisoning people, poisoning their enzyme systems was not going to help them get well. And my job was to help people get well. So I said I would not do what I considered to be dangerous. and found other ways. So as a psychiatrist and as a physician treating psychiatric and quote non-psychiatric issues with non-pharmaceutical methods, I had to think differently, which is kind of easy for me, and started to see somewhere around 2002 with the help of a patient who was the head of a state, and she announced to me that it was almost time for the great culling to begin. I had never heard that term. Further research led me to understand that the great culling was a term of art in Nazi Germany. It was a way of removing the socially unnecessary, the medically unnecessary, and the economically unnecessary, as well as the politically unnecessary, and we know the consequences of that. As I did my research, I came to understand that there was a depopulation genocide in the wings, that it had been planned for a long time, that it was soon to be implemented. And I said to my husband, who is now deceased, with the help of bad actors, Major General Albert N. Stubblebine III, darling, we have to close our medical practice. Now, that was how we earned our living. So he said a very reasonable thing. He said, why? And I said, because the people on the health freedom side worldwide act tactically. They act after something has happened, and therefore they are violating the principles of war, and they lose every time. If somebody who doesn't think strategically doesn't get involved in this battle, we have no hope worldwide. We will lose all our rights, all our freedoms, and the genocide will proceed and succeed. He said he was a great genius at strategic analysis, and he said, right. So we closed our medical practice, we sold our home so we'd have something to walk around on, and we created the Natural Solutions Foundation to prevent, to derail, to undo precisely what we are seeing now. Precisely what we are seeing now. We didn't see the details, but we could see the broad outline because they were laid out in 2010, 6 years after we closed our practice and created the Natural Solutions Foundation. The Rockefeller Institute published a document which you can read online called Operation Lockstep. It was all there. Of course, in 1922, Aldous Huxley, a member of what was called the Fabian Socialists, a member of what was called the Fabian Socialists, we now call them globalists, published Brave New World. And before that, George Orwell published 1984. These were manuals. These were not cautionary tales. They were telling us what was going to happen. I suggest anybody who doubts what I'm saying, go online and read for free the first three chapters of Brave New World. Maybe you read it in high school. It's time to read it again because it's all there. Now, where are we at this point? Oh, in 2005, General Burt and I approached a man who was to then was to us then Mr. Fusatola. Now he's Ralph. Approached an attorney who had been fighting brilliantly and with dedication and devotion for health freedom and winning in very clever ways, sometimes losing like all of us. And we said, would you join us in solving the problem of Codex Alimentarius? The food of the world is being weaponized against us globally by the globalists, and we need a legal solution. We're not lawyers, and we have nothing to pay you with. And he said, okay, indicating a possible level of poor judgment. And he said, may I call in another attorney whom we knew and trusted named Jim Turner? And we said, absolutely. And so together, pro bono, Jim Turner and Ralph Fusatola found the legal solution for Codex Alimentarius, allowing a country to protect its people's food supply and not be destroyed by the World Trade Organization. And it was a monumental task and a brilliant one. Then General Burt and I printed up the information in a book. In those days, we used books, not thumb drives. We loaded a very big suitcase full of those books, and we headed off to Africa and Europe and other places, and started visiting with the presidents and premiers and prime ministers and presidents for life and dictators of the poorest countries in the world, saying, you're going to be the first target. Your people are nutritionally the most vulnerable, and they will be the subject of this genocide. And we also started attending Codex Alimentarius meetings around the world, globalist meetings, and making sure that every country had this information. And we had some success. And we said, great, we started with Codex because everybody eats. Then we said, okay, there are other issues. Now, fast forward to today.
Yes.
If you, and by the way, we have a news aggregation site, which is enormously important, called Open Source Truth, www.opensourcetruth.com.
I put the link already here, yeah.
Great. And we also have Open Source Truth on Telegram. For as long as Telegram stays accessible to us, we'll use that. We too have been banned from Facebook, banned from YouTube. You know, it's like a badge of honor. If you haven't been banned, you're not doing the work. And let me point out that you don't get flack unless you're over the target. The closer to the target you are, the more flack you get. Yes. So I figure every time one of these things happens, yeah, we must be doing a good job. And, you know, screw them if they can't take a joke. So moving right along. At this point, the main issues are genocide, announced genocide. And I will remind you that on 7 billion day a few years ago, I can't remember the exact date, the head of the World Health Organization, who at that point was a Korean physician named Margaret Chan, celebrated the birth of statistical baby number 7,000 for the world's population. I think it was a little girl in China, if I remember correctly. And she got pink blankets and diapers and stuff. And then said, looking straight into the camera, now we've got to get really serious about population reduction. They tell us what they're going to do. If we ignore them, you know, we pay the price. And so what getting serious about population reduction means is genocide. And the genocide now is a complex structure of three main components.
Hang on. Rima, 1 second. I just want to tell it more bluntly in people's face, in case you don't know what genocide is. What they're talking about is killing people.
Billions.
Right? And many of them, exactly. So genocide is a group of people have decided to kill billions of people just because they want to reduce the number of people in the world so they can have more and you can have less, for example. Maybe there's more reasons, but it doesn't matter now the reasons, because what's important is that you need to understand that you are on the target. You are the target. You are their enemy, and they would like to get rid of you in whatever way they can, and they do use a lot of ways and weapons. Please go on. You mentioned three ways or three.
Let me point out that's very important. Genocide is from the Latin gen, meaning people, population. Not one person, but a population. Genocide, to kill, as in suicide, homicide, right. Pesticide, side meaning murder. Pesticide, so this is the murder of populations, genocide. A word you might also be familiar with is Holocaust. And if you're not familiar with that, then you're unconscious at the moment, and I suggest you wake up. Yes. So.
Please go on. You said three things.
Yes, three main things. The first is the so-called gene-altering vaccines. Pfizer-BioNTech is being distributed and forced upon the people in Israel. It is not a vaccine, it is a gene-altering weapon. The genes of humanity are the past, the present, and the future of humanity. And when you insert mRNA, and God knows what else, into humanity through these, quote, vaccinations, you are forever altering not only the function of the immune system so that it will turn on itself and destroy the person carrying the synthetic mRNA. You are altering the genetic, the DNA structure, because the mRNA is reverse transcripted, is the term, woven back into the DNA. At least 80% of the DNA that we carry came from that process over the eons and millions and billions of years of evolution. Now, the vaccines, quote, quote, that are the adenovirus vector vaccines, like the Johnson & Johnson vaccines the Russian vaccines and others, those directly attack the DNA and stick some foreign DNA in there that's never been there before. That's horrendously dangerous, and the consequences will be horrendously cataclysmic. Not might be horrendously cataclysmic, will be horrendously cataclysmic. But wait, there's more. If, said the DARPA, Defense Research Agency of the United States, if we want to spread something through an entire population, and only some people are willing to accept what we want to give them, like, for instance, a pseudo vaccine, wouldn't it be cool, and they have all the money they want to play with things and make cool things happen, wouldn't it be cool if we could vaccinate persons A, B, and C with something, you know, stick it into their bodies, and then it would be contagious, just like a disease. So A, B, and C would then spread it to D, E, and F, who would spread it to G, H, and I, and it would spread through the entire population, eliminating any possibility of informed consent, a basic human right secured by treaty, natural and common law, and international law. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that? And, oh, let's do that. And so they did that. And what we have now are communicable pseudo vaccines. When I am in the presence of someone who has been, quote, vaccinated, quote, against, quote, COVID-19, three fraudulent propositions.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, go on.
They are transmitting something to me, and I become ill, deathly ill. Well, deathly is the purpose, after all. This is the genocide. The more people that become deathly ill and die, the more successful the genocide. I cannot now be in the presence of those who have accepted the jab. It's not a vaccine, we call it being jabbed.
Yeah.
I cannot now be in their presence without becoming ill. Is this psychosomatic? Nope, because all around the world we have cataclysmic reports of pets dying, of people developing clots, of nursing babies dying from contact with their vaccinated parents, of people becoming ill as if they had been recipients of the jab. It's a communicable kill shot. But wait, there's more. And I'll get to Ralph in a second, because he has something really important to share in this.
I would just echo what you're saying anyway.
What?
I would just echo what you're saying anyway.
Well, but we're going to talk about the tribunal, and we're going to talk about solutions, right. And we're going to talk about, right. But we have to lay out the problem, because until you know the problem, you cannot find the countermeasures. However, one of the aspects of what we don't know right now is just exactly what's being shed. Is it mRNA? Don't know. Is it spike protein, which is the cause of the things that people see as, quote, COVID? Is it something else?
What? Is it the graphene, which is magnetizing people? Yeah.
These, quote, vaccines also carry nanobots.
Yes.
Self-organizing. Yes, this is not science fiction. It was science fiction 50 years ago, but it's not now. There are little self-organizing dealy-doos that carry out functions that we don't yet understand. I mean, the other side does, but we don't. And we must have the research so that the people who are shedding are studied and we get to swab their skin or get vials containing their exhalations and study that in a laboratory so that we can design the countermeasures. Right now, we don't have it. We have the documentation that this is actually happening from Pfizer-BioNTech, but we do not have the knowledge yet of what it is that these people are shedding. We know that women are having reproductive failures. We know that 4,000 women in the UK report having lost their babies spontaneously. We know that people are developing neurological and other symptoms. We know that people are getting profoundly ill, as I do when I come in contact with these people. Pets are dying and so on. So that's one half of the jab issue. The jab will direct and is directing one's own body to attack one's own body. That's very clear. The jab will distort and damage and destroy your immune system. And how long do you think you survive without an immune system? Remember the bubble kids who were born without immune systems and they were kept in bubbles because even the slightest contact with the general world, like their parents, would overwhelm them with things their bodies couldn't defend against and they would die from infection. Well, there's also autoimmune destruction. That's all going on because of the jabs. Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize in 2008 for virology, for medicine, for the discovery of the HIV-1 virus. Now, whether it causes HIV or not is another story, but he discovered the virus and was one of the winners of the prize that year. Luc Montagnier has said people will die within 2 years of getting the jab. There's nothing that can be done. We'll have to incinerate them. Why incinerate them? Because otherwise the spike protein capacity will spread through the entire environment.
Yes.
I disagree with him. I think we got 4 years, not two, but I don't have a Nobel Prize in anything, much less medicine. So what do I know? Anyhow, the point is, when the test animals were exposed to the same virus that the, quote, vaccine was against, or a related virus, and you have to understand that a coronavirus mutates about every 10 hours. So all this nonsense about the Delta variant is complete, utter horse pucky. For those of you who don't know that term, think about what comes out of the rear end of a bull or a horse. That. Anyway, there are variants all the time. That's why there's never been a successful, quote, vaccine against the common cold, 15% of which is caused by coronaviruses. We're used to coronaviruses and they mutate all the time. Now, the point is, when these research animals who received what people are now receiving were exposed to the same or a related virus, they all had the same response. It's called death. 100% of the test animals died. And now we've got 10% of the global population, 50% of some countries, 70% of a few countries with that stuff inside them. Oh, please, please protect me, please, please. Or the government saying, we'll shoot you if you don't get a jab. And the new viruses are coming. It's called winter. It's called flu season. You notice hay fever and flu and colds have disappeared. It's a miracle. They were cured worldwide. Yeah. Why? because everything was diagnosed as COVID and still is. But when that next round of new mutations in a normal sense comes around, what happens to the people who have received these jabs? Many, 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 many of them will die. And we will be told it's because of the severity of the new COVID variants. And then we will be told that we need boosters. I published an article on Open Source Truth, or I set it up to be published on Open Source Truth yesterday, saying the experts are already taking the boosters for themselves, and it will shortly become public policy that everybody needs boosters all the time of the same vaccine. In Europe, which has 410 million people approximately, fewer tomorrow, fewer the day after, but right now about 410 million people, the European Union ordered 1.5 billion doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, the pseudo vaccine, to be delivered between 2023 and 2025. That means if we estimate that 20% of the population will be dead, 7 shots per person who remains. Or if we estimate that 50% will be dead, means something like 12 shots per person. Why did they order 1.5 billion doses?
Maybe they haven't ordered. Maybe just, you know, fake news, because they want to make us think that they are looking after us, or they're ordering so we have it secured for the next few years.
Well, they spent the money. What they're doing, who knows? But the point is, this is craziness. Now, part two, 5G. 5G has a little gizmo in it that has a label on it, and this has been all over the internet for the last year and a half. It says COVID-19, COVID-19. Is that a control system to instruct the receiver nanobots? This is real technology. You can check patents. Is this a control system to have them manufacture something else, a different prion? A prion is a misfolded protein. Spike protein is a prion. To have them manufacture a different protein, to have them do something else, to have them turn off the mitochondrial function, who the hell knows? But that's part of the 5G control system. So is identification, facial recognition. And oh, by the way, the COVID jabs contain titanium. Now, the current generation of 5G is able to identify an individual if they are standing alone in a 2 meter perimeter, a 2 meter diameter space. Social distancing anyone has nothing to do with virology or health, has everything to do with the fact that you can be identified by a surveillance system called 5G, which is a military grade weapon system. And then if they don't like you, then you can receive a bolt of targeted energy and be fried. So that's part two. And part three of the kill system is, fasten your seatbelts, folks. I don't want you to fall out on the floor and get a concussion. You ready? Aspartame.
Really?
Part of the killing system. Now, we have a three-part killing system.
Hang on. Why the aspartame? Please elaborate.
Aspartame turns into formaldehyde in the blood and in the brain. Formaldehyde is embalming fluid. Once somebody's dead and you put it into them, you can't make things any worse. You can just preserve them for a while. It's what the cadavers stank of when I walked into the anatomy dissection room as a first year medical student. Oh, we said, oh, what a terrible smell. It wasn't the smell of the decaying bodies, because they weren't decaying. They were there for us to use for a year to flay and to splay. They were preserved with formaldehyde that had been injected into them. So when you use aspartame, you are ingesting, not injecting, formaldehyde. Probably not so good for the body. And in fact, Dr. Betty Martini, who's been dealing with this for 40 years, has an aspartame aviation group dealing with the fact that pilots who are drinking their, you know, diet sodas and their aspartame or their artificially sweetened coffee or whatever, drop dead in midair and elsewhere. And that's kind of a hazard. You know, when your pilot croaks in the middle of your flight, it's a bad thing.
Hang on. But there's something, this is like a new addition. It's the first time I hear it, although we spoke a few days ago. We're talking about the jabs, we're talking about the 5G system, and now you added the aspartame. So
yes.
How does this preservative works with the jabs and with the 5G?
It is another ubiquitously distributed genocidal technology. Who doesn't like sweet things? And who wants more calories? So we all think that the artificial sweeteners are just fine. What a great health strategy. And we drink them and we poison ourselves. By the way, one of the things that aspartame poisoning produces, in addition to cancer and a variety of other dreadful, dreadful conditions, is misdiagnosed MS. And the epidemic of MS, multiple sclerosis, is in large part aspartame poisoning, because paralysis causes blindness and it causes death, a lot of death. So it's just a very useful tool that people will take on their own. You don't have to tie them up and force feed them. They say, oh, it's sweet. It's rat poison, but it is sweet and yum, yum, and it's got no calories. Ooh, give me more. And it, oh, by the way, is addictive.
But hang on, I'm just thinking like quickly out of my head, why aspartame and not fluoride and not glyphosate? And
oh,
you know what I mean?
Fluoride and glyphosate and so on are also very, very, very toxic. But they're not things people do accept fluoride because of the incorrect information they've been given. But it is slower. It lowers IQ, it lowers fertility, it does all that good stuff, but it's kind of like a bit player on the scene. Whereas aspartame's effects are so massive and people are so eager to ingest it, like the vaccine, the impacts are massive and they are part of the kill shot. And it also weakens the immune system.
So that's the important point to make here, and that it's, these things are not necessarily connected by cause and effect. They're connected by the intention of the elite. It's the intention of the elite to get to a certain result, namely depopulation. There are a number of techniques, some of which work together. There are some people who believe that the 5G will actually make you more susceptible to the effects of the spike protein.
Excuse me, Ralph. It's not a matter of some people who believe. 5G frequency decreases the ability of the red blood cells to carry oxygen, and therefore weakens the ability of the body to protect itself and to function. It is not a speculation.
A weakened immune system is a key. Fluoride's role is to make sure that the people don't really question what's going on to them. They are properly anesthetized in their ability to exercise their own will and intent. This is a battle of wills between two sides, and the intentionality of the other side is to
Precisely.
Kill us.
This is a battle of will. We will ourselves to survive. They will us to die. I wrote a paper when I first came across the term useless eater. I wrote a paper called The Killing Fields of Codex, which links the genocidal activities of Europe before and during the Second World War to the Codex Alimentarius genocidal weaponization of food. That was a very intentional activity brought about by the same people who ran IG Farben, the civilian German war effort, financed by the United States Genesis, John D. Rockefeller Jr., etc.
And I would say Nazi, not German, but yeah, it's
Nazi. Sorry, it happened in Germany, but it was spread beyond Germany. It was Nazi. That is true. That is correct. So the point is that that was just one step. There have been numerous steps, and some of those steps directly connect, like 5G and the jabs. And some of those steps are parallel steps. I think fluoride is a parallel step. One of the things that fluoride does is cause calcification of the pineal gland. This is not urban folklore. This is fact. And you can go online and type in calcification of the pineal gland, comma, fluoride, and see the documentation in the medical literature. But the point is, if your pineal gland is calcified, you have reduced or eliminated the access to the wider realms of information, right? It's all part of the same massive plan, because you have to work really hard to kill billions of people. They tend to be resilient. They tend to find strategies to protect themselves biologically, psychologically, socially. And that's what we're doing. We're looking for strategies to protect ourselves. One of those strategies is a brilliant and innovative strategy that Ralph and I are both honored to be part of, called the International Tribunal for Natural and Common Law for Public Health and Justice. An amazing tribunal of conscience. You might say, who cares, tribunal of conscience? So you talk about it, but it has no impact. That's not true. And I would love to have Ralph talk about the tribunal of conscience and what we, you and I, can and must do to enforce the judgments and the cease and desist orders on our governments of the Tribunal of Conscience.
Before that, sorry, Ralph, give me three more minutes, all right? Because it's really important, Rima, what you're saying, and I want to point two things. One point that I will get there in a second, but one point is while all this is happening, the globalists or the Nazis or whatever the name is as a group, you know, the elite, the royalty or whatever.
Globalists will do.
They must have something that protects them against all these sort of weapons that they are spreading on us. So this is one point, if you know or if you have any idea what it may be. But before you answer that, if you can, I want to remind the people, and I will use everything you said till now. I just want to remind the audience and whoever will listen to this. We are talking about a grand plan. It's not something that started in the 90s or the 70s or the 60s. It's something that, my guess is, may have started in the fake plagues that we were told happened hundred years ago, roughly. Meaning, what I'm trying to say is, every sort of 100 years, we are being, or someone is trying to exterminate us. This is one thing. Now the techniques have evolved, the technology has evolved, the sophistication has evolved. And at the same time, people, us, the majority, have become thicker and thicker, more and more stupid, dumber and dumbest.
Not by accident.
Again, this is part of this grand plan to make us dumb and to cause us death without us even suspecting that it's not natural. Now, and this is just, again, this is just a reminder, because what we see now, and I'm, to be honest, I'm sure you too, all of you, I'm still surprised from the stupidity of people. And now, maybe stupidity is not the right word. I don't have the vocabulary in English to say it, but to be honest, also in Hebrew, I say stupidity because I can't find another word to describe it. People choose, and I emphasize choose because all this grand plan is based on choice. People choose to believe the globalists and not the truth in front of their eyes. People choose to believe what feels and sounds and looks better, but not they don't choose to believe the truth, which is in front of their eyes.
I have to respond.
Please.
First of all, don't you hate it when somebody's trying to kill you and 6 billion other people? It just gets in the way with all your plans for the day. Now, but beyond that, the fluoride calcifies the pineal gland.
Exactly.
The pineal gland is the transducer for what we call intuition, or for
the driving seat of the soul visiting this plane.
Exactly. So finding truth and having it resonate in your heart like a bell requires a functioning pineal gland. If you calcify it, these clever bastards figured out, you can make people apathetic, you can make them docile, and you can make them do any or believe anything you like. Then you add fear. Now, Bertrand Russell in about 1920 said, and he was a Fabian socialist to the max. Yes. Bertrand Russell said, through injection, injunction, and indoctrination, it will be impossible for the man of the future to have an independent thought. Through injection, injunction, and indoctrination. Now, indoctrination and injunction has been supported by the creation of false fear. Fear sometimes is very, very useful. There are things to be afraid of, like the globalists and their genocidal plan. That is not false information. That is real information, and you should be very afraid and then take action. But fear without comprehension and without personal empowerment causes a stress reaction, and the thinking bones, the right and left hemisphere, these guys are shut down. And what you do is revert to a lower level of neurophysiological and functional, neurofunctional integration called the limbic system, also called the reptilian brain. The limbic system, which is deep in the brain because it evolved earlier than the thinking bones, and even earlier than the prefrontal cortex, which is our ability, which contains our ability to have insight about our own actions and thoughts and so on. When you're functioning at the limbic system level, you're functioning for pure instinctual survival. Do this, go there, eat this, think that, and you'll be safe. Oh, okay, okay. And that's what's happening. The entire propaganda machine is designed to force us into limbic system, reptilian brain, panic, and subjugation. So you're not thinking, they're not stupid, they're hypnotized. They're hypnotized into a state of fear. And your work here and our work and the work of other good, knowledgeable, intelligent people, whether we agree on the details or not, doesn't matter, is about getting people out of that hypnotized, trance-like state and having them be able to use what they feel with and what they think with and their hearts. And that is the job. That is the job upon which the success of our attempt to not be the victims of genocide rests. It's about our regaining our full human capacity, our ability to think using our left cortex, our ability to feel using our right cortex, our ability to evaluate our own actions and beliefs using our prefrontal cortex, and our ability to feel and love using our hearts. Without those, we are not going to survive.
Do you have an answer to the first question I ask? Do you know if these globalists, if they have a cure for what they are doing?
Excellent question. And the answer is yes, no, maybe. And here's what I mean by that. I mean, it's a definitive yes, no, maybe, I have to say. The yes part is, logically, they have to.
Yeah.
You would think that, of course, they're going to unleash a plague on us that they believe that they have a prevention for themselves from being genocided. Either that's going into their deep underground bunkers and hiding out for 100 years, or that's Suramin which I question, or that some serum, which might be, we don't know. But you would assume, and you know, ASSUME makes an ass out of you and me, as we know, you would assume that they have that all worked out. Because after all, they're smart and they got more money than God, and they probably don't want to die. The second, that's the yes. They got something.
Yeah.
The no is there are those who, astute students of this set of phenomena, who say, nope, these are Luciferians, and they worship essentially the essence of death, and their goal is to eliminate all life on the planet, including themselves. Now, that's interesting, because some years ago there was a college professor in Texas who was saying, you know, what humanity needs to do is die. And my point, and I said in writing and in videos, okay, you go first. Yes. And I thought all of us who didn't want to be genocided should wear a button saying genocide, right, you go first. So there, if there are deciding factors here at the level where those things are decided that really want everything and everybody to die, then no, they would not have a solution for the plague. I find that intellectually possible. I find it emotionally impossible to embrace. So maybe it's true because these people are really genuinely crazy. But maybe they have a cult religion and they believe they're going to ascend to a land of lollipops when they kill enough people. Who the hell knows? And then the maybe is what's being circulated. Intelligent people like David Wolfe and Dr. Judy Mikovits, who both made two videos that I've seen talking about Suriman and pine needle tea, and made two videos that I've seen where she says she never said that. And who knows, it could be technologically manipulated. No. I don't know. But yes, she denies that she ever said anything about Suriman and pine needle tea. So all of these people are saying, okay, boys and girls, I mean, if Dr. Mikovits actually said it, we'll include her. If not, we won't. All of these people who are saying something are saying, okay, boys and girls, here's what you do. This, you use that, and you protect your immune system, and you use pine needle tea, which, by the way, is a perfectly lovely thing as long as it's the right kind of pine and hasn't been sprayed. You protect your immune system with all these things that we know, curcumin and vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc, and so it's all wonderful. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, it's all wonderful. It's a problem. If this were a naturally occurring plague, we know how to protect immune systems.
Yeah.
I'm good at it. So are a lot of other people. Ralph's good at it. We can use frequencies to destroy the pathogen. Ralph's good at it. I'm good at it. You guys are good at it. We can do all kinds of things because we're not dealing with a genetically engineered bioweapon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, with a genetically engineered bioweapon that we have not even characterized yet, that we have not identified yet, what exactly is it that we're protecting against, and how exactly are we doing that? I love curcumin. I take curcumin. I take CoQ10. I take, and I will say, many months ago, I looked at the operational end of the so-called virus, the spike protein, and saw what it did, realized that N-acetylcysteine, from a biochemical point of view, N-acetylcysteine would block the receptors in the lung and perhaps elsewhere from the attachment of the spike protein. So I said, I think it would be a good idea to load up on N-acetylcysteine, a very useful and non-toxic nutritional supplement. The week after the patent for N-acetylcysteine expired, the FDA started a campaign to make N-acetylcysteine illegal and unobtainable in the United States, indicating that I was right from a biochemical point of view. But is that an antidote? No, it's a strategy to reduce. By the way, I did some internet research and I discovered that according to the scientific literature, people of Caucasian origin have 10 times as many NAC receptors in their lungs as people of Oriental origin. Therefore, if you were the CCCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and you wanted to make a bioweapon with the funding from the West, of course, that would knock out primarily people of Caucasian origin, you would go for one that attacked something that they were more susceptible to. Say something that they had 10 times more receptors for than people of your origin, Han Chinese. Interesting, 90% of China is Han Chinese and all the leadership is Han Chinese in the Chinese Communist Party. Okay, moving right along. Do they have some sort of antidote or protective strategy? I don't know. Can we have some sort of antidote and protective strategy? Yeah, we can. But here's what we need. We need the data of what exactly it is that we are having a protective strategy against. They say the damn injections are producing the spike protein. Would you believe them? Do you believe them? I don't believe them. They lie. They say there's no titanium. They say the label, you know, says. But the state of Connecticut in the United States about 3 weeks ago released the actual ingredients of the Moderna vaccine, quote, vaccine, and it contains something called SM120. If you go to the data manufacturer's safety sheet, the manufacturer's safety data sheet on SM120, you see that it is not for animal use, not for human use. It's toxic in the skin. It's toxic if inhaled. It's toxic if swallowed. You don't want it in your body, so you're going to inject it into babies? Right. Great idea. So we're talking about people who are lying to us, corporations who are lying to us, and we're accepting what they say as if it's the only thing. Is it possible, I'll stop in a second, is it possible that the COVID-19 control unit in the 5G system can change what the synthetic mRNA is producing, that the nanobots can redirect the synthetic mRNA so it produces something else? Is it possible that it's not contaminating the unjabbed with the spike protein, but with something else? Of course it's possible. These people lie. Why would you believe what they say? So we need the laboratory work. And if somebody listening to you will contact me, contact you, and you'll contact me, I will direct a protocol for finding out simply and quickly exactly what we're dealing with. And then we can come up with countermeasures, because fumbling around in the dark, we can't even find the damn elephant.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We need a white knight who could fund the proper research, and we need the laboratory that can do the research. A lot of the labs in the United States will not cooperate because they're afraid of government repercussions.
I called every laboratory in the United States that does the kind of work that doctors like me need for their patients. And I said, will you do this? And we'll pay for it. And they said, we can't, because we'll lose our CLIA, which is the federal laboratory license. We'll lose our CLIA license if we do an unapproved protocol, even on a research basis. In other words, they are out of the business of finding out. Does somebody listening to you have a chemistry laboratory? We don't need fabulous equipment. We need a chromatograph and a spectrophotometer to allow us to characterize the proteins that are being shed and inject. That's all. That's really not a big deal. If you have one, contact us and we'll do the work and we'll find out what it is, and then we'll create the countermeasures. Maybe it is zinc. Maybe it is hydroxychloroquine. Yeah. Maybe it, I don't know. Maybe it's just plain old simple vitamin C. I doubt it. But we have to know what we're dealing with in order to solve the problem.
But nevertheless, I mean, people do need to strengthen themselves. I mean, whether it's vitamin C, D, go to the sun, do some grounding, take zinc, take whatever you need in order to...
All of that is wonderful. All of that is wonderful. But is it a specific...
No. I'm not saying it's not. But generally speaking, you need to be strong. I mean, these times that we live in, you need to have a strong mind, a strong heart, and a strong body. So you walk on three different planes and join them together. Mind, you need to know what you're up against. You need to know the truth and to differentiate the truth from lies. Heart, you need to remember where your heart is and who you are and what you come here to do in this world, and you come here to love and to prosper, all right? But physically, you need to be healthy. You need to be able to do these things. So you need to look after your physical
body.
There's
another piece that you need. What you're saying is absolutely correct, but there's a fourth component that we've been denied and that we've gone along with having denied, and that is community. You need people. Our immune
We'll go to it definitely in a minute, Rima. I mean, we spoke about it also in our previous talk. This is most important thing. When you have mind, heart, body, you come together as a community and you play music or you do good things, like really good things, and open your heart and really rejoice together. We come to that in a minute. I want to go back to Ralph now.
Please.
And to this tribunal you mentioned, Rima, before. Ralph, can you give us like a quick introduction into what Rima mentioned, please?
First of all, how much time do we have remaining on the program?
We have something like 48 hours. No, I'm joking. I mean, obviously. Limit, but it is about...
Good. All right. Let me give you
the exact information in as little time as possible, you know?
Understood. First of all, I've been an ordained minister for 47 years. Along the way, I practiced law for 36 years, becoming known as the vitamin lawyer. These days, I'm president of the Institute for Health Research, and I'm one of the trustees with Dr. Rima of Natural Solutions Foundation, and welcome to my alchemy lab. I'm really happy about the name of your program, Raising the Frequencies. I think that's precisely what has to be done. Dr. Rima and I are members of a tribunal of conscience. And if you want to learn about the history of tribunals of conscience, I wrote a paper about that, which is posted at opensourcetruth.com. If you go to opensourcetruth.com and go to a little search engine and just put in tribunals of conscience, and you'll get this historical article that reaches back 150 years and explains about the effect of these private tribunals. Essentially, folks, crimes against humanity, and that's what we're dealing with here today, right? Crimes against humanity are more or less ignored by governments, including international agencies. And it has been up to individuals of conscience, starting with Bertrand Russell and Jean-Paul Sartre during the Vietnam War era, and before that, in the issue of slavery and a few other issues, that a series of private tribunals have been formed that have attempted to focus the intentionality, the conscience of humanity on very serious problems, problems that the politicians, the elite, and their bureaucracies were refusing to deal with. And that is what the International Tribunal of Public Health and Justice is about. It's a group of health care people and lawyers and others from literally around the world who are working together to identify these crimes against humanity, and then to go a step further, to make a decision. We, of course, give the other side an opportunity to be heard. We follow process, and then we end up issuing a judgment as judges of the tribunal, and then the tribunal seeks to enforce those judgments by issuing cease and desist notices and orders that are then made public and served upon the government officials, almost always government officials. That's the one thing about genocide that we have to add. Historically, genocide has always been an act of state against its own population, or at least a neighboring population. And so we are dealing with political crimes, crimes against humanity. At the end of World War II, there certainly was an attempt to hold at least some of the war criminals accountable. But in those trials, in the Nuremberg trials and in the trials in Asia, no one was actually convicted of crimes against humanity by itself. They were always convicted of war crimes and crimes against humanity, or just war crimes. So crimes against humanity have sort of languished as a concept. And even the International Criminal Court has a hard time dealing with that. They've only been dealing with what essentially were war crimes. So
we also know that in the Nuremberg trials, I mean, it was mostly a show. I mean, those bastards, few years later, even those who were in prison, they came out and they joined their friends in the WHO, in the UN, in the Codex Alimentarius. I mean, all the system that they built. Okay, some friends have, you know, sat in prison, but 4 years later, they're back in business. So we know it was kind of a show. And the last thing I want to see is a second Nuremberg trials, another show. No, we have to, you know, just a quick one. We have to end it. We have to end it now. And we have to end it forever. I mean, these bastards, these Nazis, these, you know, Satan worshippers, whatever, these genociders, these globalists, we have to put them in prison forever. We have to eradicate them from this world.
A bunch of Nazi doctors were hung after the so-called doctors trial, which was one of the subsequent Nuremberg trials. It's that trial for which the Nuremberg Code was written, a code which is binding through the Geneva Conventions on all by those conventions, which is almost every government. So we have a basis for drawing the attention of humanity. And that's what the tribunals do. If you want to learn more about those tribunals, you can go to Peace in Space, interesting name, peaceinspace.org. Alfred Weber is a lawyer who's a citizen of both the U.S. and Canada, and he's the chief judge, and there are a number of other folks involved. Urge you to go there. You can learn a lot more about those issues as well at opensourcetruth.com. And as I said, I'm president of the Institute for Health Research, which would love to be involved in researching the primary question here, what is being spread about and how do we deal with it? The Institute is an exempt organization, and if anyone wants to donate to the Institute to help us do this essential research, you can go to our website, inhere.org, and use the donation button. We will seek to hire a lab and implement Dr. Rima's protocol, which would finally characterize what the unvaxxed are being subjected to by the vaxxed, or by the jabbed, rather. We also want to point out that we posted a very important little video on Open Source Truth recently. If you go there again, just search the word friar. There's a friar who speaks for about 10 minutes about what people of conscience are going to need to be ready to do when 2 billion people die over the next two flu seasons. And he raises some serious issues of morality and religion that we have to consider going forward. We cannot save those who have self-chosen. The sheeple have self-selected, and we're going to be left caring for the dying and trying efforts, and it's not going to be an easy world.
And let me tell you, it's not going to be an easy world. Imagine what happens if half the population dies over the next 2 years, and that's a modest estimate. We have also on Telegram created a group called Un-Jabberwocky for those who are unjabbed. And for those who don't know, Lewis Carroll, who was a professor of mathematics, Victorian era English professor of mathematics and a great wit. He wrote Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, and he also molested little girls. That's another story. Anyway, he, like Mark Twain, who was also a child molester. Too bad. Anyhow, the point is that he wrote a poem called The Jabberwocky. And the Jabberwocky was a fierce monster that ultimately is slain by a humble hero with his vorpal blade, which goes snicker-snack. He made wonderful words up. So we have created the Un-Jabberwocky site on Telegram. For those of us who are unjabbed, to reach out to one another, to form communities, to be able to find one another. For instance, here in Tucson, where I live, once a month we have the Un-Jabberwocky Cafe at a beautiful Buddhist center held owned by one of the Unjabbed good people that we know. We have a gourmet organic meal, and then we have a lecture. I lectured at the first, and this past month we had a poetry reading, and then next month we're having a lecture about 5G. You can be doing that too, but you need to be reaching out to the unjabbed, because it is not safe to congregate with the jabbed. And you can organize and find each other through Un-Jabberwocky on Telegram. This is tremendously important. But I want to talk about something else about the tribunal. It's nice. There are cease and desist orders. Isn't that dandy? So what? So here's what you do. Every one of you lives in a country. It could be Israel. It could be Azerbaijan, it could be the United States, it could be Canada, it could be Grenada. Every one of you lives in a country. In many countries, the cease and desist orders have already been formally served by the tribunal Chief Justice Alfred Lambermont Weber. And you can find a list of the countries that the cease and desist orders have been served on. They deal with the COVID nonsense, they deal with 5G, and they deal with aspartame, saying cease and desist all of these activities immediately, or you will be held as war criminals in violation of the Statute of Rome, Articles 5, 6, 7, and 8. And that's all technical legal stuff, and it's very important, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Now, what you do as a resident or citizen of your country is you take this document, you download it, and you send it to the recipients who have already received it. The emails are there at peaceinspace.org, and you send it and you say, I demand that you follow this lawful cease and desist order. 4 people, 18 people, 27 people, meaningless. 8 million people? Oh yeah, meaningful. Now we, Natural Solutions Foundation, have in the past orchestrated protests electronically by millions of people. And the policy of the government that these people are opposing stopped because popular uproar stops these bastards in their tracks every single time. When we push back in sufficient numbers, they go away. They come also back again.
Rima, also in Israel, a month ago, there was a law proposal which made a lot of waves in the aware community, obviously. And the law, there's many bad, you know, fascist laws are coming on our way, obviously on your way too. But this law was about, law proposal was about taking an underage minor, kids and very young teenagers, and to treat them as mature minors, something like that.
So they could make vaccine decisions.
Hey, this is just the beginning, and we know what they're up to, like Mark Twain and Lewis C. Carroll and these lot, you know? So obviously they use these terms just in a medical way, but they have other meanings hidden in the way they, in what they're aiming for. And this lady who proposed this law as if it was hers, yes, I mean, she got it written already, there was so much rejection to it from people. I mean, people started to write, we are rejecting this law proposal. No, and it was dropped.
Exactly.
So this is just to emphasize what you're saying, exactly. That we do need to keep pushing our way. My only concern, and I think you'll agree with me, is that the more time passing, and we know it very well, because especially you, Rima, but also us, we are not in this from yesterday and not from January 2020. we've been in this field for long enough to know that the more time passing, we are losing, not winning. But since we are men and women, since we are really strong and unique and special in this world, in this creation, we have so much power that even in the last moment, we can change reality.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
why we need to keep pushing it.
And remember that we create reality. Intentionality in the aggregate is the mother that gives birth to reality. Now they have an aggregate intentionality for us to be dead. Yeah. We have a slightly different aggregate intentionality. And you will find in the cease and desist orders, which we, the population of the planet, have the ability to enforce, you will find that the principal actors are indeed sentenced to life in prison without parole. The secondary actors are sentenced to 25 years in prison without parole, some to 10 years in prison without parole. The point is that it is meaningless unless it is enforced. And the enforcement is through our little warrior mouse capacities, individually.
But it's also, but in an era of lockdowns, just being in the public without a mask is an act of rebellion. And I want to draw everyone's attention to the upcoming event. July 24th is the third worldwide demonstration. The worldwide demonstrations have been banned from Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. They have not been mentioned in the media of mass deception, and the only way they've been organized is through Telegram and Signal and a few other places. On Telegram, there are 58,000 people on the worldwide demonstration chat, and those people have engineered in March, in May, and now in July, increasingly large demonstrations. The March round was about 50 countries and 75 cities. The May round was 100 countries and 100 and something cities. 190 cities. The July round needs to be 180 countries and 500 cities.
But just to mention,
go to Telegram and look up worldwide demonstration and join Ralph, that chat and get organized.
Ralph, just to mention, and I know. Yeah. Look, they have been planning few steps ahead. We know that.
Yes.
We know that in this plan by the Rockefellers. And in this chapter, the lockstep, I mean, they mention the civilian unrest, as they call it, this bloody Nazi. And they know that this uprising is coming. And they plan some scenarios for it, too. I'm not saying don't do it. On the contrary, please go outside, throw your masks, burn them, and, you know, and take control of your life, basically. And still, we need to be aware that they are planning a few steps ahead, and we need to counter these plans that they have.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we need to counter that. We need the research to counter the biological weapon. We need the social organization to counter the psychosocial weapon. We need the emotional reinforcement of our humanity to counter their suppression of our humanity. We need to sing. We need to rejoice. We need to dance. And that's not just because we need to have fun. Yeah, fun is wonderful. That all supports our immune system. That all supports our will.
Go there, Rima. Please go there for a couple of minutes. Give us the idea. Look, this is so important. This is so crucial for our health, for our well-being, for our joy, for our electromagnetic field. So, so important. Working from the heart, expanding the heart, being in joy, singing, loving, hugging, kissing, enjoying one another company, eating together, drinking together. Please,
sharing,
don't let me do it with my poor vocabulary. Please go ahead and give us a couple of minutes about exactly that, how important it is to walk from the heart, to care, to sing, to dance, to be in joy. Please, go ahead.
while you were saying that, I was going to run off camera and get a singing bowl and create the music of the singing bowl. These are used, these frequency devices are used as healing techniques all over the world, not just Tibet, all over the world.
Both Amit and I walking bowls, just so you know.
Exactly.
There's a famous example of one of the great caves in southern France with the ancient Cro-Magnon paintings. And there's a red spot on the wall in one spot, and they found a bone flute on the ground of the cave right there. And one of the scientists blew through the flute at the spot, and the whole cave vibrated.
Exactly, exactly. So we are energetic beings. We are energetic beings.
And you if you want to know more about that, go to the following website, GeneralBurtSpeaks.com. Dr. Rima said that General Burt is no longer with us in the body. He died allegedly 4 years ago. He was my friend and mentor and the most extraordinary human being. And he's still interacting with us. So go to GeneralBurtSpeaks.com. It will give you hope.
He's still interacting with us in ways that other people can see and hear, and things that can be photographed and documented. This is not just a lonely old widow and her dotty friend. I mean, it could be that too, but the general is enough of an engineer to not allow that to happen. His degree from West Point, at that point, when he graduated in 1952 from West Point, they only gave one degree, and it was in engineering.
Please go back to what you were saying before.
Yes, because I am. But that's related. What Ralph said is absolutely related. So we are energetic beings. We are biomagnetic electrical beings. We are also biological beings. We are also emotional beings. We are also transducers of energy from outside of us, and then we re-emit that energy. This is not woo-woo nonsense. This is all scientifically validated now because we have the technology to validate what mystery schools and mystics and teachers and spiritual gurus and so on have been saying for a long time. And they get some of the details wrong because, you know, there's what's called overlay, but basically what they were saying for thousands of years has now been validated in the laboratory. So our structure is to believe what the laboratory says too. Okay, so we are energetic beings. We heal each other in our energetic presence. A mother picks up the baby, kisses the boo-boo, and the boo-boo stops hurting. The mother's energy and the baby's energy have combined. You have a lover. You and the lover come together. It's you could call it tantra if you want to put it in that form. But when the two of you combine, there is an outflow of energy that is different from and greater than the energy that either of you can produce separately. It is super additive. This is how humanity connects. We also connect with frequency that we create. We do it with caves and bone flutes and little red spots where it's memorialized in a little red spot. We do it with singing, we do it with chanting, we do it with speaking, we do it with medicine bowls, we do it with gongs, we do it with ringing the changes, we do it in incredible numbers of ways. Why do people have music in their life? They have music in their life because it heals them. You have people who live in abject grinding poverty, and instead of food, they will spend the little bit of money they have on some access to some kind of music because it is healing. It is necessary. We are electrical beings. We must be in contact with the earth, with the Schumann frequency, the basic resonance. This is physiology. This is not, I mean, you can make woo-woo out of it, and you can, you know, put feathers in your hair and paint yourself blue and dance around and have fun. That's great. But that doesn't change the fact that this is actually rooted in science. Why do you think acupuncture works? It really works because it interacts with the frequency of the body, of the mind, of the psyche, and most fundamentally of the heart. The frequency field of the heart is enormous, and it reaches out and encompasses other people. We know that from studies that were done in the 70s at Harvard. There's no question about this. So, lockdown. Let's reduce the capacity of people to support their immune systems, their psychological systems, their spiritual systems, their capacity to love, and therefore their capacity to think. Let's separate them. Let's mask them so that a whole generation of children grows up not knowing what subtle social signaling is about. They can only see eyes. Have you noticed that people wearing masks don't talk? So people simply stop there. I live in Tucson, and the culture here is that people look each other in the eye and say, hello, how are you? Have a nice day. Thank you. Please. Except now they don't because of the masks. We, the people, we, the humans of this planet, have to reclaim our space, our integration, our connection, or we aid the genocide. There is no safety conferred by a mask, only disease. I mean, I truly wish that putting a mask on would keep me from being impacted by what the jabbed are transmitting. I really wish that it would help, but it doesn't. It's nonsense. The point is, we have to reclaim our humanity. They're not going to hand it to us on a silver platter. We have to gather. We have to hug. We have to love. We have to laugh. All of that, the psychoneuroimmunology is very clear. All of that enhances the immune system, reduces the sympathetic fight or flight outflow, which shuts off the immune system. And we've been living in fight or flight, right? This is the panic. This is the limbic system that I was talking about. And it elevates us back to a fuller access to our humanity. Humanity starts with the heart. It starts with connection. It starts with love. And then from there, it goes forward into all our other capacities. My dog agrees. My large dog thinks that's resonance.
See how beautiful that's resonance, because a dog is barking here. So I think your dog heard this dog that entered this mic in Israel, and your dog in the States is like, oh, I know him.
And that illustrates a beautiful point, actually, in a lighthearted way. Consciousness is non-local. Yeah. Awareness is non-local. We think that consciousness through radio and television and BitChute and so on is non-local because we can see somebody else who's far away at another time and, oh, now we're in touch with their consciousness. No. Consciousness is non-local. The brain acts as a transducer for consciousness at many, many levels. And intentionality flows from that non-locality. We are joined together, the four of us now and all of your listeners, in a non-local creation of a shared intentionality, which is to thrive, to survive, to get rid of the globalist, to know more, to do more, oh, by the way, organic food, no chemicals, no glyphosate, no organophosphate pesticides, because that reduces immune capacity and damages your cells and your DNA and your microbiome. Bad idea. But that's expensive. Well, cancer is more expensive. Death is even more expensive. These are our
Rick, just living a normal human life is resistance to the globalist genocidal plan.
Yes, and a normal human life includes contact. Exactly. It includes laughter. It includes song. Where you remember Fauci, whom I have dishonored with the term Fauchism for medical tyranny. Please use that term. The originator of Fauchism said, you can't sing at Thanksgiving, you can't sing at Christmas, you can't sing in church. Why? Because frequencies are healing and strengthening. We sing, and especially together, in order to heal ourselves and others. We don't want that if we're globalist genocidalists. So put your mask on, put 3 or 7 or 14 masks on, reduce your oxygen, increase your carbon dioxide, and for God's sakes, don't make any frequencies that could help you.
And brush your teeth twice a day with fluoride.
Absolutely.
I want to actually ask Amit, and maybe to wrap it up just after, because it's been nearly an hour and a half, and I'm sure we can speak 6 more hours at least. Amit, can you give us your input on this last 1 hour, 24 minutes that we are on? Because you've been keeping really quiet and very polite, and I see that you share this broadcast here and there.
I thought you had changed the rules and Amit was not allowed to speak.
Amit, give us your take here.
I'm just listening, and I wish we would do this before, way earlier, I guess. Maybe if we would do this broadcast again and again and again for years, like both of you have been speaking to very, I think, large audiences that have shrinking down because of censorship. So you have been speaking, and we're at this point, and I think we should have we should do more of this, because you can speak for many hours. I think you two can just go at it, and there's so much to talk about, and I prepared like a whole list of questions just to ask Timo, you know, and we haven't gotten to any of them because I understand.
Let us know when you want us back.
I understand that. Thank you. So I understand what you know. And from my perspective, you know, as a simple person that researches by myself, and I also listen to you, knowing what you said way back when me and Chai first encountered your, I think it was your broadcasting from, I think, the UN meetings. And I was watching a live that you did, you know, with your camera from inside the meeting of the Codex.
Right.
They didn't
And I saw, you know, out of all of the rumble of people talking about so many things, I saw a person that is a warrior, you know, that went in and sat and listened, and you heard it, and you saw with your own eyes the injustice that is done from so high in this chain, that even when I try to consider now, okay, could my country actually leave the WHO? Could we leave, you know, and opt out of it? And it seems impossible from what I know. And we're in a situation that we really have to protect ourselves in many ways. But my innocent heart and mind, I don't want to let go of the idea that we can actually make it, and that we can live, and that we can outlive this. Because if I know one thing about myself, and just, you know, the adventures and things that happened to me personally in my life, I know it's not easy to kill me. You know, I don't die easily. I don't get hurt easily. And even though I drank a ton of aspartame, right, in my life probably, and so did everybody else, I'm still okay, I'm still functioning, and it gives me hope in a way, you know, that even though people have been injected, and my family's been injected with this, and many of my friends.
Wait, you've been injected with the COVID jab?
Not me, but I've probably been
contaminated.
Shedding, you know, because I've been in interaction with so many people, and you know, if what you're saying and what other doctors are exposing in this year is true, that You know, it's very difficult to accept this. Okay, I'm gonna die in 2 years because I've been because I took it, or I've been exposed to a person long enough that have been vaccinated. And even though I know everything I know, I want to not believe it.
Oh, me too.
And so it's very difficult. And I think people are also going through this with the radiation dangers, that there is a self. I don't want to know. I don't want to accept that what you're saying is true.
I call
because
it the presumption.
Because if it is true, that it means that I'm responsible
yes.
of hurting myself, right? I said yes to the injection. I mean, not me personally, but everybody else around me. And it's my responsibility. I'm walking around with the phone, with everything on, with the Wi-Fi and all this, so, and it's very useful, right? So it's very difficult to accept this idea and let go of so many things that we know and so many concepts so quickly. And I just don't want to give up on, definitely not on the kids and not on everybody else that I love so much. And I would believe until the last moment, until I see with my eyes people falling, because all this year, look, all this year and a half of corona, I haven't heard with my ears one ambulance. I haven't seen ambulance lights. So there is no people dying so quickly, you know? I mean, I feel that a lot of what we're getting, especially definitely from the main media, but also within groups, is a lot of misinformation. It's a lot of a big scare. They're trying to scare us, and that's what's most getting to us. Because the fear is paralyzing everybody. And
not everybody, but it's true.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
I felt that in the beginning, you know, when the corona started spreading the world, I felt paralyzed and I felt fear. And I thought, okay, what do I do now? How do I react to all this? How am I most effective in this world? How can I help, right? If there's a pandemic, I should be a paramedic, right? I should help. I should have a way to help. And I just chose to kind of dive into society and not opt out of it and not seclude myself someplace or find a way to survive, even though I really respect and I understand this way of thinking. And I'm just saying I'm not running away anywhere, and I'm staying right here with everybody else, because we can eventually, from the beginning, we're in this together. We're in this boat. The unvaccinated, the Jews, the Arabs, everybody, we're in the same boat. And if this happens, we're seeing it with our own eyes. It's happening globally. What happens here also happens where you are, you know?
The genocidalists do not see us as Jews and Arabs and Christians and Americans and Canadians and Chileans and Panamanians. They see us as vermin. Let's get that clear. They see us as vermin. They see us the way the Nazis saw the Jews and the gypsies and the communists and the alcoholics and the physically defective, all vermin. And that is their worldview. So you say you chose not to run away. And I say, first of all, that's the right decision. And second of all, there's nowhere to run. Yeah. Let me be frank. I have lived as an expat. I've lived in Thailand. I've lived in Panama. I've lived in Chile. And if I knew that there were a safe place to live where I could live outside of the flow of this nightmare horror and still continue to do my work, because we do have the internet, we have platforms like the ones that you're building. If I knew I could do that, I would be there. There is no place on earth that is a safe refuge at this point. The globalists have a purview called the globe. It's the whole damn thing. It's not like the globe except Nepal. Okay, let's go to Nepal. No, Nepal is being 5G'd and vaccinated, just like Tucson, just like Jerusalem, just like New York. There is no running away. We either solve the problem or we give them what they want, which is us turning into toxic fertilizer.
And that's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
No, and we are going to do everything we can with all the powers and all the qualities that God has given us in order to stop these criminals. And I would like to take this moment just to thank you, Ralph and Dr. Rima, for and Amit, of course, for joining us for this broadcast. And I think it would be wise to do another one.
Absolutely.
But at least for now, I can say thank you ever so much for Dr. Rima for all your work. I mean, again, maybe in Israel, not many people know of your work, but I hope now they know a bit more. Amit and I obviously know you for many years now, and we appreciate so much the work that you have done, and we learn so much from you, and we'll keep doing so. Thank you very much. Ralph, thank you very much for being, helping Dr. Rima and obviously late General Stubblebine for all the work that they've been doing together and separately over the years, because I think it's tremendous and I think it's so valuable to have this work, especially at this time. May God bless us all and keep us safe, and people just take the right choices. You're here to choose right. Please use this capacity and don't be dim. Sorry. Much love to you all. Please, I'm just playing something small. Please stay here and I will talk to you in a minute.
By the way, I was just feeling when you asked me what's my take, the only thing I was actually feeling to say during this talk is really how much I thank you. And you, Shai, personally, and you, Dr. Rima, and Ralph, and also General Bert. And really grateful for knowing you, but also for everything that you're doing and trying and not giving up. And I think you're giving way more hope and help than what you're credited to and what you probably know of. You know, the ripples of our actions, who knows where it goes? And who knows how many lives this talk touches and basically everything that you do in your life. So I cherish you all and I respect you, all three of you, so much.
That's absolutely mutual.
And I'll say this in the name of a lot of people that I know and are listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we will do this again, and we'll have you on our show, the Dr. Rima Truth Reports at People for People, people.ning.com. You can find out about that on our website, opensourcetruth.com. And thank you. The work that you're doing is literally life-saving. Thank you so much for having both of us.
Actually, it is. Thank you. Yes. And obviously, yes. I'm looking forward to see your channel on the Live 528 website. Stay with us a few more minutes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, all the audience. Please share this broadcast. Again, we are all the people here are blocked on social networks. So please put an effort and share this broadcast. Thank you very much. All the best. God bless.
Thank you.